from the Three Story Method Podcast Network.
This is the Serial Fiction Show.
I'm Christine Daigle.
And I'm JP Reinbush.
Welcome to the Reader's Serial Fiction Show.
Today, we've got a science fantasy by Brian Xavier Cole called The Shattered Warrior. Perilor is a meaningless pawn in a brutal war. Since his homeland fell, he has known nothing but slavery, loss, and killing. Hope is dead, and has been since his sister was lost somewhere in the endless ranks of the Talor army. But when he crosses paths with young Jan, everything changes. For Jan is the endowed, wielder of powers long thought lost, prophesies to end all suffering. All Perilor has to do is keep him alive.
Brian Xavier Cole is a writer based in Logan, Utah. He enjoys good food, an unhealthy amount of Minecraft, and of course, writing. One day he will finally become a real astronaut, but for now he just writes sci-fi fantasy instead. And now a sample of The Shattered Warrior, Episode 1.
Prologue. Hope is dead. An end. A beginning. Between it all, death. Oh, Okron, when will it end? Anonymous soldier, circa 500 after fall of Meridian. Mind, body, soul, ever, purity, eternity, between it all, unity. With unity comes faith, with faith I overcome all my fears. The words were little comfort to Evin Yanka as he stared down his damnation, but he said them nonetheless. He found it strange that he still had fear. He lived so, so long, yet, after all these years, the sight of battle still sent shivers down his spine. No matter how long you lived, he'd realized, trauma never went away. If anything, it just got deeper, gouging its way into your soul like a river carving through rock, slow but steady. One thing his years did give him, however, was an ability to predict people. Today, he'd been right. Heaven knew he hated it, but he'd been right. The assembly had scoffed. The governor had dismissed him. Outright war was impossible, they said. The Talar were neutral, they said. Well, now they were here, and death with them. Above him, battle raged as the enemy fleet bore down on its ragtag Athenian opponent. One would think the militia of a nation millennia old could at least hold its ground. Alas, that was not so. Instead, plasma ripped through the hulls of the remaining Athenian ships like surge blades through flesh, shredding the cruisers into thousands of pieces. Flames and molten metal fell from the sky, a glowing rain that covered the streets in angry orange. Smoke billowed everywhere, blocking the city from view, though Yanka could still see silhouettes collapsing amid the chaos. Inside the city's inner shield, he didn't hear the screams, but he felt them. He and the governor's guard stood on a landing platform near the center of the city, just inside the protective bubble of energy that shielded the Imperial Palace from attack. It was the last remaining of Ayala's city's three major shields. First, the planetary shield, then the city's shield had both fallen, allowing the Talar to launch their devastating assault. Ships and carriers sat dormant all over the pad, unmanned, their pilots killed in the early hours of the attack. Yanka did not dare use them to escape. The Talar had created a powerful defensive formation around the exit wormhole. He'd lost dozens of squadrons already trying to penetrate it. They'd have to find some other way out, hide in an obscure area of the system until the Talar relaxed their security. That could take months, years even, but heaven knew it would have to work. Already his soldiers scrambled about, collecting supplies for whatever lay ahead. Yanka glanced at the governor, a small, pathetically insignificant figure compared to their chaotic surroundings. He was sheathed in a protective circle of Yanka's finest men, hunched over, heads in his hands. Coward. Even now he'd been proven wrong about the Talar, he still wouldn't do a thing about it. Still, Yanka had to protect him. In times like these, incompetent leadership was better than none. Sir, we're detecting a group of T'lar breaking off from the main fleet, a soldier beside Yanka reported, hollow screen in hand. His eyes were apprehensive. Before today, most of Yanka's men had never seen combat. Yanka himself hadn't fought in years. He'd have to hope their training was on point. Where? He asked. The soldier pointed north. Yanka pulled the scanner from his belt and followed the man's finger. Sure enough, three enemy carriers were swirling around to the unguarded south side of the shield, heading directly for the landing pad. Yanka froze. Could they know the governor was here? When they'd fled the palace, Yanka had set a plethora of false transmissions to cover up their escape. However, he knew better than to underestimate his opponent, particularly when they were kicking your vret the way the T'lar were now. Prepare yourselves, he ordered, drawing his surge blade from his sheath, igniting it. A long, elegant chrome weapon with a jewel embedded into the hilt, it glowed with a faint blue light infused with ever, the magical fuel the jewel produced. Yanka carefully touched the handle with only his gloved hands. He'd need the sword's power, but he couldn't afford the distraction touching it directly would offer. They're heading for us, he continued. Defend the governor at all costs. The palace shield would protect them from outside energy blasts, but it wouldn't stop a small cruiser from entering. His men snapped into action, bearing laser tips, blasters, and other weapons. Yanka counted five more surge blades among them. A lot, but not enough against a foe like the T'lar. Unless they could hijack the enemy cruisers. Yes, that could work. The T'lar ships were now close enough Yanka could see them with his naked eye. Twisting above the pad, they began their descent, briefly deactivating their systems to pass through the shield unharmed. How could they know? He'd covered their tracks as well as he knew how. With a sigh, he pushed his worries away. Now was not the time for speculation. Do we fire, Commander? A guard asked, aiming his glowing, ever-infused hand towards the carriers. Yanka shook his head. Leave the cruisers intact. We'll need them to escape. Focus your energy on killing what's inside. His men obeyed, waiting, tense, eyes following the three T'lar ships as they dropped gracefully onto the landing pad, surrounding Yanka's little band in an even circle. So they did know. How? Wait, Thos. Yanka wasn't ready for that. The carriers remained ominously silent for a good minute, heat billowing from their dying engines, headlights slowly blinking out. Yanka tried not to panic. They didn't have a memory burner. They couldn't. Pneumatics hissed. Yanka's men turned in unison as one of the cruiser's doors slid open, the interior of the ship shrouded by smoke. Attack! Yanka yelled. His men fired, using both blasters and ever to send bolts of plasma, flame, and lightning ripping into the smoke. There were no screams in reply, however, just the shriek of metal ripping. Yanka's eyes widened as he realized his mistake. Hold! It was too late. The other two carriers slid open, and the T'lar soldiers poured out, figures clothed in purple and gray armor, visors darkened to keep their eyes from view. Catching Yanka's men off guard, they unleashed their own volley of attacks. Plasma slammed into the Athenian guards, dropping more than half of them in a single burst of energy. Yanka froze, dazed, fighting memories, then summoned a blue shield with his ever. Several more of his men dropped, but they quickly regained their wits, forming a defensive formation around the governor. The T'lar men fell back briefly, regained their own wits, then rushed forward, drawing melee weapons as they rammed into the remaining guards, including Yanka. Assaulted by two armored soldiers, his shroud fell within seconds. Desperately, he swung his surge blade, parrying their attacks, falling backward, hardly able to think through the sheer shock of seeing and feeling dozens of his own men dying. Their echoes clouded his vision, distracting him from his opponents. A blade cut into his arm, opening a gaping gash in his skin. He screamed, "No!" He ducked around another strike, closed his eyes and reached for his surge blade, mentally drawing ever from its reservoir of power, infusing that ever into his body. Then, glowing, he slammed his fist into the ground, expending the ever to send the two T'lar flying backward. Instantly, his mind cleared, though his arm still throbbed. Tucking his hand into his chest, he turned to the rest of the fight. If half of his men had died in the initial volley, then they were now down to an eighth of their original number. There were only a dozen left, desperately parrying the attacks of the seemingly innumerable Talar. The governor was still alive, hunched over, sobbing, his ceremonial robes now soaked in the blood of men who had fallen for his sake. All the other Surgeblade wielders were dead. Yanka breathed, the shaking breath of a man trying to calm himself in the face of torment. There was only one thing he could do now. Closing his eyes, he reached. Not for the Surgeblade this time, but for the memories dancing all around him. They came more naturally than he expected. A flood of emotions and images, old and young, male and female, Talar and Athian. In an instant he relived them all. A Talar slave, one who had never even seen the green of a tree's leaves, died to a spear through the neck. A guard screamed as his spine was struck by plasma, leaving him paralyzed and bleeding on the ground. A woman nearby fled, trying not to think of the child she'd left behind, but knowing the infant's cries would give her away. Memories. Terrible, horrible memories. It took all his strength not to collapse, but stand he did. Eyes flashing open, he burned the memories. In his head, the reliving had taken hours. Here, it had taken only a moment. Now he pulsed with blue ever, 10 times what he had gathered from the Surgeblade. He found himself grinning. Leaping into the air, he unleashed a hail of pure fire onto the Talar below. They yelped, some pulling personal shield generators from their hips, but Yanka burned more ever, and the shields collapsed. Power pulsed in a ring around the remaining guards, ripping apart the ground, melting the concrete. Within moments, the Talar were unconscious, fleeing, or dead. Yanka exhaled, descending back to the ground. His glow had mostly faded. The exhaustion was quickly setting in. But oh, he had forgotten how thrilling that was. His soldiers stared in awe, some dropping their weapons. The governor lifted his head, eyes bulging, seemingly more terrified of Yanka than he was of the Talar that had nearly assassinated him mere moments ago.
Okron,
one guard whispered.
You're a memory burner?
Yanka nodded. No time to explain. We need to leave. Load into the nearest ship. If things get ugly... He trailed off as something caught his eye. A motion to his left. He whirled, squinting.
So, JP, let's talk about pro writing aid. And as they say on their website, it is the secret to polished and professional writing. As writers, we make the same mistakes. You use Pro Writing Aid, you can get clear, easy steps to improve your writing so you can share your ideas with confidence. Whether you're doing creative writing, business writing, academic writing, just composing an email and you want to sound smart, Pro Writing Aid will help you.
And 100%.
There's something new. What is it, JP?
So Atticus, which is a wonderful program that includes book formatting, and it is developing aspects for writers so that it can basically be a one-stop shop for writers, has an integration with Pro Writing Aid now. So we've mentioned before that Pro Writing Aid has a lot of integrations with, you know, Google Docs and Microsoft Word, and now Atticus, which just makes that tool Atticus really shiny and nice for authors that are looking for a one-stop place. But it's just the fact that Pro Writing Aid can integrate with so many programs so that you're able to use this sort of last line defense before handing it off to someone. It just makes it so much easier. I love using Pro Writing Aid because then I don't have people that are editing it looking for simple mistakes that I can find using Pro Writing Aid that I can learn from. And instead, they're looking at the deeper content and they're able to notate that. So I just find writing it so nice. So I love it when I hear a new integration has happened.
Absolutely. Check out Pro Writing Aid. It will help you be a better writer. ProWritingAid.com. Use our discount code SERIAL20.
SERIAL20.
So JP, let's talk about Later Press. So Later Press is a platform built to help authors declare their independence. It lets authors create digital books and sell them directly to their readers through their own branded website. And there are new things coming to the platform every day in terms of discoverability and new features. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So I put Nerds on LaterPress, and it was a really easy and really fast process, which was pretty cool. And one of the cool things was you can put a collection, and then you can put your, we put Nerds in the collection so that ideally if we do any spinoffs or if we do any like season two or like specifying those pieces, you can put those books in the collection, which is really nice. And it's a really nice way of like hierarchical pieces to it, which is really cool.
And
it basically gives you your own website. Ours is nrds.laterpress.com. And you just direct your readers straight there and they see Nerds. It doesn't get blocked by anything else. There are no ads in the way. There are nothing. It's just straight up Nerds content for your readers to get straight to reading, which is different than some other platforms, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. And I did the same thing, although I uploaded all of my books to a collection just so I had one place, you know, to direct readers. And so I have Molecule Thief, Dark is Away, and the Steampunk Emerald Key is up there. So it's one link. People can see all your books and you can order them whatever way you want, or your serials. You can put serials up as well. And and you can do it on a subscription model or pay per book. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, which was a really cool.
Yeah,
the pricing thing was pretty cool. Figuring out either doing per book or some type of a subscription model just to kind of give your readers different abilities to support you, because some people really like the, you know, it's basically like a Patreon, but you just get content to read.
Yep. And the cut is just 5%.
Yeah. So test it out. Try it out.
Yep. Laterpress.com.
See you later, press.
Okay. So Evin Yanka is facing down his damnation and war with the Talar is raging around him. What inspired you to write this serial?
It's been a long time since I started writing this in like sixth grade. So it's changed a lot, like a lot. I would say Brandon Sanderson is my biggest inspiration now. I hadn't read him when I first started this, but I really, especially the Stormlight Archive, I really liked Stormlight Archive and Star Wars were two big inspirations for this. So, not that I am very as good as either of them.
Hey, but it's good to write write things that you aspire to at the very least. And the story's pretty good, so you're good there. I'm curious though, which character are you excited for readers to read about and why?
So the main character of the story is Paralor. And he's the one that I like the most.
And what is it that you like about Paralor?
I like he's an underdog at the beginning, a depressed underdog. And I like his arc from going from a depressed underdog to slightly less depressed non-underdog.
So what is one thing about this story that you want listeners to know or to be excited about?
So I think the magic system is really cool. It's based around burning past memories or current people's thoughts to get magical fuel. So I think that's a fun aspect of it.
Yeah. So I'd like to hear more about that, especially about your magic system, the memory burners and the ever and the void. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah. So ever is kind of like the magical fuel that you burn, So first you would do what's called burning the memories, which you relive the memories. It happens instantaneously, but for you, it feels like a long time. And then you get ever from that, which you can then use to like actually do stuff. And void is kind of the same thing, except you burn emotions instead. And that is, it's called void. It used to be called eternity, but it has been corrupted by the main villain. So I can't talk too much about that because spoilers, but yeah.
That's really fun. I enjoy that.
Yeah, I like that concept of burning emotions away. That speaks to me. That's pretty neat.
Yeah. So what do you enjoy about melding science fiction and fantasy together?
I don't know why I enjoy it, but I've always enjoyed melding sci-fi fantasy. Pretty much any fantasy story I write that I try to keep fantasy eventually ends up happening on multiple planets. But I don't know. I always really liked Star Wars as a kid. And I liked how it blended, you know, sword fights and all that with spaceships still. And I don't know. Something about that just speaks to me. So I really like writing it.
Yeah. I'm definitely a big fan of having swords in space. So you say in your bio that you have aspirations to be an astronaut. How's that going?
I remember saying that in my bio. So
it's in your Amazon bio.
Gotta be honest here.
So not well. Okay.
Not well.
Oh, that's excellent. Hilarious.
Let me see here. So what is your favorite trope that you see in science fantasy?
Always really liked the Chosen One trope, which is one of the things that I've tried to twist a little bit with this, because Perilor isn't the Chosen One, but he has to go save the Chosen One. So, and there's more twists to come, but I can't say that because I haven't written it yet.
I like that. So it's the perspective, a Chosen One story from the perspective of someone who's not the Chosen One. I think that's really neat. So you talked a little bit about Sanderson and Star Wars. Were there any other influences, books, movies, or media that influenced your story?
I haven't actually read Wheel of Time besides like part of the first book, but I know some of the basic concepts. And I think that might have actually inspired. It's hard to track inspiration sometimes, but I think that just knowing the basic concept of Wheel of Time inspired me a bit. I'll look behind at my dinky college bookshelf to see if I can see anything. Brandon Mole wasn't so much an inspiration for this story, but he helped, like, as a kid, I read him a lot, and he got me into writing, frankly, whether he realizes it or not. Yeah. So
another thing that you say in your bio is that you enjoy an unhealthy amount of Minecraft. I'm curious, if you still play video games, how does that play a role in your storytelling?
I enjoy video games. Most of the time, it really doesn't play a role in my story. It's funny. I write super violent stories, and then I go and play Minecraft, which is like, I play Minecraft, like Bloons Tower Defense, Mario, just all these non-bloody gory games, and then I go and write like war stories. I don't know what's wrong with me, but it's fine.
I guess Bloons Tower Defense is kind of a war story, you know, shooting down zeppelins and stuff. So is there anything else that you have in terms of writing that's in the works?
A lot of things, but not a lot of very coherent things, let's put it that way. I have a project that I'm working on outlining that only has the working title of two words, Space Pirates.
Love it.
Got a few other, another story I'm trying to work on a little bit. I haven't worked on a lot lately. Is about a guy who lives in a society where literally everyone has magic and he doesn't. And it's also kind of an empire overthrowing story because they like to genocide people who don't have magic. And he's like the sole survivor. So
awesome. Well, I'll definitely. Next. Yeah, I'm interested to see what comes out of that. That's cool.
I'm in for Space Pirates. So yeah, that works.
Yeah, absolutely. As a final question, what do you like most about writing serial fiction?
I don't know. I just like writing fiction in general. I was just kind of trying my hand at the serial thing. But I don't know. I like releasing chapter by chapter. I think it keeps me engaged. I don't know if it's the best release schedule for my process per se, but I definitely think I can see how it helps a lot of people. I think it's a cool way of doing things. So
awesome.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for sitting down and talking with us.
Yep.
Our thanks today to Brian Xavier Cole for letting us share their episode. If you liked it, you can read The Shattered Warrior on Later Press. The link is in the show notes. And that's a wrap. Good.
I'll do it. I don't care.
I've got it.
Good. Go.
Wait, who the f- is Perilor?
Perilor is the main
I'm
person.
Guess it's Perilor.
It is Perilor.
Perilor's not the main person. Mm-hmm. Oh, in this like episode prologue. One or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. And then it's the Talar.
Yeah.
And Jan. It's like Jan. Oh. That's all I'm going to do is
Jan.
You don't have to worry about it. Okay.
Okay.